Welcome to the Hidden Healing Podcast, The Heroine's Journey. This podcast is just for you. Yes, you, you beautiful soul and kindred spirit, with a gentle heart who, because of life's circumstances, have been hurt, neglected, and left in so many ways to fend for yourself because the adults who raised you weren't able to be what you needed or provide you what you needed in the early years of life. I have a hunch that you, my friend, have worked really hard to have a good life and to provide one for your family, and you've succeeded, but you still aren't feeling connected to the people in your life or fulfilled, and you're always meeting other people's needs, which never allows time for your own needs. You've likely already done work on yourself, so this journey isn't new to you, but you know that there is more to be done. In this podcast, we'll talk about how complex trauma robs you of joy and connection, even into adulthood, until you do the inner work. You may be wondering, what more is there to be done? Well, let me tell you. Helping others on the journey of healing from the impact of complex trauma is my passion. I have spent the last 5 years really digging into what specific aspects of healing will bring the biggest impact in life, and how to open the doors to more healing and connection so that you never feel lonely or disconnected again. So listen in as we discuss complex trauma and how you have the power to change how you feel and, yes, change your life now. This episode is brought to you by Clear Concepts, Courses, and Coaching. Do you ever wonder if you've experienced complex trauma? Find clarity with my free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery. So get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understand and to healing now. The link is in the show notes. Today, let's talk about stages of healing from complex trauma. So disclaimer time, I'm not a psychologist or a doctor. What I'm sharing, though, is what I've learned from people who are those things, and also what I've experienced in my journey through healing. But it's always important to remember that a podcast cannot replace professional help. And sometimes self-help is what we need, but there are times when we need the help of a professional. So I've told my story a few times, but I kind of want to recap. When I was thinking about this episode, I thought a lot about the fact that some of my newer listeners may not have gone back and listened to my story. And I kind of feel like it's a little bit important because it shows the depth of the dysfunction that I grew up in. And it also shows how far back it goes in my family. And so we're all at different stages and there's no comparison. Mine's worse than yours. Yours is worse than mine. There's always going to be someone who has more dysfunction, more trauma that has to overcome more. And there's always going to be people who maybe look and go, I didn't have any trauma in my life. I can't possibly consider myself to have trauma. I have a friend who's like that. And sometimes when she tells me about things, I'm like, well, maybe you didn't have any big T trauma, but clearly you've had some things that your nervous system could not handle as a child and tried to make sense of, and it was just too much stress. So, my story. My mom got pregnant out of wedlock at 15. She was quickly married and had my brother at 16. My parents were quickly divorced even before I was conceived. It's interesting, though, because my dad and my mom met on the playground and started dating when they were 13. My dad was, by the time they were pregnant and he had his first son, he was abusive in all the ways at the young age of 17. So sadly, my dad grew up the youngest of six or seven, and all his brothers were drug users and in and out of prison. He started going down that road too. I was conceived after the divorce, and from what I can tell, my mom doesn't like to talk about it, but from what I can tell, I was not conceived from a mutual consent situation. I grew up in, let's see, in a neighborhood three houses away from my uncle's house. And so I saw my dad a lot over there, but he never even looked at me most of the time, didn't acknowledge my existence. I didn't know my uncle. They were not people that we were allowed to talk to. And in fact, I was made afraid of them. And rightly so. My mom was a 16-year-old girl who had the crap beat out of her quite a few times by, you know, her husband. And also, his brothers were not the nicest people. I would see my brother talk to him sometimes, though, but not very often. And then I think about the time I was 7 or 8, we moved out of that neighborhood and actually moved all the way across the state. And by that time, my sister had also been born. I grew up with a lot of big T trauma, sexual abuse from the age of 3 years old, and so much craziness and dysfunction. But for the most part, life got better when we moved across the state. We didn't know anyone, so most of the crazy stuff was gone. We still had a lot of adverse childhood experiences, though. My mom had complex trauma, although at the time that wasn't really a thing, and it just really means that she was very dysregulated all the time, easily triggered, and plus she had 3 kids by the time she was 20. Already had been married and divorced as well. So you can imagine how stressful her life was. But the thing about my mom is that she valued truth, or she does value truth because she's still alive. Once we moved, she began to seek truth in every possible way that she could. And two of the best things that she found were the Bible and Tony Robbins. So I know a lot of people are really down on Tony Robbins, but to me, he's a very special person. My mom used to watch his infomercials on television, and I could see the hope in her eyes, and I could see how when she was studying his material and doing those things that she felt better and was a better mom and able to be a better person. She shared all the programs that she bought with us, and so she would try to make us do them with her, which we did a lot of them with her. We even went to 3 of his, Anthony Robbins' franchised Unlimited Power Weekends, where we did board breaking. He wasn't at those events, but they were a part of his franchise. Eventually, though, we did make it to San Francisco to a live event, Unlimited Power Weekend, and we got to walk on fire with Tony Robbins. And my 16-year-old daughter would correct me and say, "You mean hot coals?" Yes, I do mean hot coals. We walked on hot coals. And I'm still going to refer to it as fire because it's essentially the same thing in my mind. There was a lot of other self-help teachers and books, and my mom paid us to read whatever she could get me to read. She really strived to teach us to be better and make better choices. The thing about complex trauma is that it's kind of gets hidden, especially during times of peace and calm. So as we got older and her chaos stopped and her responsibilities got less because we were older, things seemed to get really good. We all got jobs and went to trade schools. We all got married and life seemed pretty good. But then the cycle that had been passed on from at least 4 generations before me started in my life. I had children and I believe that it was my responsibility to be selfless. To be honest, I thought I beat the system because my great-grandma, my grandma, and my mom were all pregnant at 15. I didn't have my first until I was 25, so I thought that meant that I broke the pattern. And while I did break one pattern because I didn't get pregnant at 15 or 16 or 17, but until I was 25 is when I got pregnant. Also, over the years, I did a lot of work on my trauma. So from about the age of 12, it started happening in accidental ways. Like I would be with a friend who I had a lot of adult friends that were really good people. And things started coming out and I started being able to express these things, not on purpose, almost like in like, if this doesn't come out, I'm going to die way. And those people were really good in my life and were able to support me. And then around the age of 19, I sought professional help. So I really thought that all my big T trauma was taken care of too. I didn't understand what I guess that all meant. There wasn't like words around that, or there wasn't this word complex trauma. We didn't have people like Gabor Mate or Brené Brown teaching us about trauma and shame. So all of a sudden I look up and I have four babies running around and I'm overwhelmed and depressed. And then once the kids were born, Justin also changed and his trauma started coming up and he started being a different person. And we had moved 7 times in 7 years, including moving to two different states than where we came from, California. And they say that moving can be as stressful and as hard as the death of a loved one. It causes a lot of sadness, a lot of stress, a lot of different negative feelings to come up. So the other thing is I didn't have a say in the moves. So, well, at least the moves across the state. So if we moved from California to Missouri, I didn't have a say in that. In fact, I didn't even get to come home and say goodbye. So that was really stressful on me. And then the move to Missouri, I once again said I didn't want to do it. I mean, to West Virginia. And we ended up moving. Now, these moves ended up being blessings for us, and I can't see my life going a different way and having the same result, the same kind of healing and understanding of complex trauma I had. Maybe, because I am a truth seeker as well. So when I say I have experienced healing my complex trauma, I don't say it lightly. My story is really shortened here because if I shared my whole life and all of my trauma and adverse childhood experiences, we'd probably be here for a few days and we'd probably all fall apart from the sadness. And so it's just, it's not necessary. But it is necessary, I think, to see where I came from, maybe how hard it is, and that healing is possible because each and every one of us, we want to heal. We want to change how we feel and change how we view our lives and even sometimes change how our life is. So I had this awakening and I felt it really hard. I knew something had to change, but I didn't know what. And when I went on the search for my truth and healing, I accidentally started an online business selling products and my journey began. That business teacher introduced me to another teacher who spoke to my heart, and she talked about stuff that no one else had ever talked about. She was truthful to a fault, despite the fact that she was being vulnerable to hundreds of onlookers, maybe thousands. And I loved it so much. It really just lit me up and gave me hope. It was at that point that I started listening to other people that this podcaster would bring on and her guests. And it kind of led me on the path to complex trauma. It turns out that there was a word for what I was experiencing and there was a way to heal it. I could be better. I could stop being sad and resentful all the time. I could learn how to get my needs met and not at the expense of other people. I was so hopeful at that point. So that's where this first step comes in. The first step is the desire for change. And then the next step is you have to be willing to go and do the work of learning about complex trauma. Sounds like this is like an easy step, right? Like go and watch a video or learn, read a book. But in reality, it's such a hard step and it's one that so few people do. Most people with complex trauma continue in the sadness and resentment and emotional pain, and they never get to step one or step two. Those are pretty big steps, so you should give yourself credit for getting this far. You're here, you're listening, you're trying to get information, trying to make life better, and that's wonderful and amazing. So once you have the desire for that change and then take in the knowledge about complex trauma, the next step is a really hard one. We have to take responsibility for everything in our life. It's kind of funny because with complex trauma, we know that all of the adverse childhood experiences that we had in life in our earlier years before the age of 18 aren't our fault. But at the same time, everything from the time you're 18 on is your responsibility. Everything in your life now is from choices that you have made as an adult that have shaped your life. You didn't have to make the choices, right? You could have made other choices. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron because you're not responsible, but you kind of are, right? But as an adult, we bear responsibility for everything in our life. You could have turned 18 and moved away from everything bad in your life. Like, kind of think of like a movie like where the main character gets to look at life and how it could have been. Like maybe Scrooge, just as one example. Different choices would have changed how life looks and how life feels. Now, of course, you did the best that you could with what you had. We all did, right? And of course, at 18, nobody feels like a real adult. And so we kind of stay with what we're used to. The alternative is unknown and very scary to most people. I'm exactly the same, but remember this. For things to change, I must change. Say it with me. For things to change, I must change. When we take responsibility for our lives, we go from being a victim to being empowered to change our choices and therefore our lives. We go from being resentful and blaming others for how we feel to realizing that we created this life. And now if we want to make a different life, we need to make different choices. It feels really sucky to realize that we're where we are because of our choices, but we create our lives one decision at a time. And here's the flip side of the coin. It feels really good to know that we're not stuck in our current situation because we get to make different choices. And it is a process that is for sure going to be slow, but if we keep going, we will surely make the changes to our life and how we want to feel. So taking responsibility is the necessary third step in this journey. The fourth step is confronting the loss of identity. That happens in childhood. You see, it really wasn't safe for you to become an individual. Now, in normal families, individuality is encouraged, right? Parents want to see their children become who they are going to be, find their interests and their hobbies and their friend groups. But in dysfunctional families, it's rarely encouraged for people to be individual. And so we don't. In fact, it's not rarely encouraged. It is very much so discouraged, even to the point of being threatened to be kicked out of a family. So this loss of developing your own individualized identity, it keeps you hidden from those around you. People don't get to know you because you don't know you, right? And it may be the cause of the reasons why you feel alone, even when you're with other people, or you have feelings of being invisible, or the feeling that you're indispensable to those around you because you do so much for those people. But you feel like if you stop doing those things for the people in your life, they wouldn't see the value and may not need you. Adverse childhood experiences disrupt the development of your identity, and this loss goes with us into adulthood, impacts our relationships, our careers, and just our overall happiness. So this brings us to the reason, which is the next step, for identity loss and other pain points in your life. And we talked about this last week. When you're little, your mind assigns meaning to the things that you experience. And last week, we talked about assigning meaning to getting bullied, right? Maybe you got bullied and you assign the meaning that when you're vulnerable or share who you truly are, you draw attention to yourself and that can bring around the bullies, right? So being vulnerable is unsafe. Remember that that meaning was made with your child mind. It was trying to understand what happened and how to keep bad things from happening again, how to keep you safe. But most of the time, all of that meaning was assigned during a time when you were anywhere from 3 to 7 and you too young to understand what things really meant or why things were happening. And so you were experiencing those things, not realizing that they weren't your fault. And that overall, these things that were happening were wrong and should not have been happening. So the meanings that you assigned were not rationally based. They were really wrong conclusions. And so that's why cognitive distortions, that's the fancy way of saying incorrect understanding of how things work, is number 5. In my life, an example, I got the message that I had to be just like my mom. No, to be truthful, I had to be a part of her, and I thought that up until my 30s. That was incorrect meaning I assigned to not having my needs met, and because I often felt unloved by my mom, I felt brushed aside and invisible. Of course, it could just have been my perception. After all, I am the middle child, so there is a thing called middle child syndrome. But thinking that I had to be a part of my mom, it kept me from having my own identity. I couldn't develop my own identity because I thought that I was my mom, her identity. Now, that may not be the same reason you failed to develop your own identity outside of, outside of your parents or outside of what was going on with you. And oftentimes we mistakenly think that we have developed an identity. We're a mom or a wife or we're a business owner or all these things. But the reason that we all fail to develop our own identity can be a little bit different for each one of us. But the whole idea is that we didn't get to develop this identity. So that takes us to, of course, back to cognitive distortions. And there are many cognitive distortions. But here's the thing. Once you learn the formula for learning about cognitive distortions and replacing them with correct thinking, then you get to do that work of integrating those new thoughts and patterns into your life. So that's one cool thing, is that there is like a method that you can do to learn about cognitive distortions and how to replace it with a good thought. And then the work is integrating those thoughts and those thought patterns into your life. It's a process. It gets easier with time as we do it. You learn one, two, or three cognitive distortions and you learn how to apply them. And then I would say after you have three of those under your belt, the steps of learning the others are just going to be easy, like a snap. By understanding and addressing these components, though, we really look at the complexities of complex trauma and the ways of healing it. And as you know, this healing journey comes with cycles and levels, and we cycle through each one, and then we level up. And it is a lot to think about, but knowing these steps is really helpful, because if you can see the steps laid out, you can kind of see where you are in the journey. You can kind of see, you know, do I have the desire to have a change in my life? Have I started taking in knowledge about this? Have I looked at the loss that complex trauma has brought my life and kind of looked at that and understood that, hey, there's a problem because I didn't develop an individualized identity, and that could be causing me a lot of problem. And then, of course, the steps of doing the work. So think about all the research and learning that goes into each and every episode that I publish, let alone all of the stuff that goes into trying to make changes in my own life. But just like you, I took the shortcut from learning from other people who had already walked the path that I want to go on. I listened to podcasts and read books, and I've spent several years working hard on myself. Having others share their journey has helped me cut the time that it takes and has sped up my progress. So well done to you for listening to podcasts like this and helping you speed up your journey in this healing process. But if you're like so many others who are just tired of the negative feelings that come along with complex trauma, I am putting together a short course for beginners to really learn this information. Now, not just what we talk about in this podcast, because here we talk about like what is complex trauma? Why do we have complex trauma? I work really hard to try to give you some tools and to show you how to heal complex trauma. But it's just not feasible here to really get into the how. And that's why online courses are so popular today, and especially after the pandemic. Courses teach you how to get the result you want in a shorter amount of time than if you had to like go through it and learn it all yourself. It's like having someone hold your hand and keep you going in this process. If you have any interest in feeling one of the first five spots in my mini course, let me know so that I can get you the details. It is the way that I have come at my complex trauma in trying to heal it and in getting help, not just professional help, because I've done so much of that. And now it's like, okay, I need to apply these things. I need to integrate these new beliefs into my life. And so that's what this mini course will do for you. Well, that's the end today. And I hope that you guys all have a fantastic week, with spring just here and really lighting everything up in bright green and blue skies. It's been a really, really nice time to be able to feel a little more energy and to get outdoors. So I hope you guys enjoy some outdoor time as well. Thank you for joining me today. I know your time is valuable, and I appreciate that you chose to come here. Remember to go to the show notes and grab your free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery, so go get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understanding and healing now. The link is in the show notes, and I'll see you next week.